Ronaldo and Messi, Simone and Serena, Scheffler, McIlroy and Woods. We know names like these because they're among the most successful athletes in the world. Sheeran and Swift, Eilish and Ariana, Combs and Stapleton, some of the most popular singers. Denzel, The Rock, Cruz, Johansson and Sweeney and Aniston, wildly successful movie stars. Ticket sales, jersey sales, most streamed songs, most plays on the radio, movies that get you away from Netflix and out of your couch and into movie theaters. These are the kinds of things that announce that a person is popular and successful today. But what does success look like in God's kingdom? Well, I can tell you it's none of that kind of stuff. God has an entirely different way of judging success. And you and I should have that too. The Apostle Paul was writing to a young man named Timothy, who was a bit like you and like me. Like him, you are an important person to God. You are an important part of his kingdom. And like him, I'm that, but I'm also a pastor like he was. As we look over Timothy's shoulder today and read this letter with him, truths of the highest importance pop off the page. Things worthy of learning and remembering. Really, things that we have to know for ourselves and for other people as we live in God's kingdom. Timothy was blessed in a way that many of you were. He was raised to know God from the time he was a little baby. Paul had already mentioned Eunice, his mom, and Lois, his grandmother, earlier at the beginning of this letter. And so Timothy would have thought of them as he read this. As for you, continue in the things you have learned and about which you have become convinced. You know from whom you learned them, and that from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. In God's eyes, Lois and Eunice were successful. We don't know anything else about them, and we don't need to. They raised Timothy from the time he was a baby to know his God and his Savior. That was faithfulness to God and faithfulness to his word, which is success in the kingdom of God. The only popular people list that these ladies would show up on are lists that you and I might see within the kingdom of God. But the world doesn't notice people like this. They don't sell posters of parents who raise Christian children. But you know who does notice this kind of thing. I was talking with a college student this week about how hard it is to know what's true and what's real these days. You know, who can you trust? What can you trust? Is the image that you saw real, or is it AI? Is the breaking news on X really true? Or what about that story on Facebook? Is she really your friend? Or does she have other motives? One professor says this is true, but another professor disagrees. You talk to the salesman at Home Depot, and he says, oh, stay away from that brand of appliances. And then you go over to Lowe's and talk to that guy, and he says, oh, that brand gets great reviews. A friend, can you trust what they whisper in your ear all the time? It's a confusing world. It's hard to know what's true and what's right, and it gets harder because things keep changing. But for us, there is something rock solid. There are trustworthy things that you can count on, things that will never change. That's because they are truths that God tells us in his word. Timothy had learned them from his mom and his grandma. He had also learned them from the Apostle Paul. And now Paul is reminding him that he needs to continue to believe that by remaining in God's word. And this is why. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See, the ultimate success is to have the salvation Christ Jesus obtained for you with his successful payment for sins on the cross and with his victory over the grave. And clearly, this is his work, not our work, but he gives us this as the greatest gift, yet not something popular with the world. Just the opposite, in fact. But we don't always value that success either, even though we have it. We act like it's not enough sometimes. We want something more. We want earthly things. And so we chase the likes on social media, and we want to be liked in person, and we're looking for the approval of people and the praise of others. Those things seem like success because the world tells us that they are. And that sinful side of us tells us the same thing. We might even trade what God says is success for some cheap knockoff that doesn't last. Any popularity we gain, any envy that we're able to prompt from people because of our words and our actions, those things are not going to last. They won't last beyond this world. They might not last for our lifetime. They might fade away by the next week. But salvation by faith in Christ Jesus won't fade away. It is for this life and it is for eternity. God forgive us for not recognizing this, or not remembering this, or not living like this is the most important thing. Success is found in faithfully following God's inspired words of Scripture that tell us this unchanging truth about Jesus, that tells us about the glories of God, that tells us how we go about living for God with our beliefs and our behaviors. Paul tells us the purposes for which God gives this. He says, for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that we become this complete person who has faith in God and lives for God. And so as that word of God is applied to us, sometimes we're called out because we're doing something that is not right in God's eyes. And sometimes that word corrects us because we're believing something that's not quite right. And it trains us so that we believe in God and so that we can live for him. Sticking with God's word, with the gospel of salvation in Jesus, applying that word to our lives of faith, that is success that the world cannot appreciate and cannot understand. I don't know what you were doing on January 10th, but that was a national day that you may have inadvertently celebrated. People that research these kind of things tell us that two Fridays into a new year, people give up their New Year's resolutions. It doesn't take long. Quitter's Day, that's what they call it. By that second Friday of a new year, people discontinue the things that they resolve to do. And so they quit on those things that they intended to go forward with this new mindset and a new way of living. We can't have that when it comes to our faith. God pushes you to keep going, to not quit, to continue in what you have learned, because in his word he tells us the all-important, vital things for this life and for eternity. It makes you, he says, wise for salvation. Having that is a success that the world cannot offer you. But all of this isn't just about you. Just like it wasn't just about Timothy when Paul wrote to him. As people who are part of God's kingdom, we want what God wants. And so that means we want other people to have the success that is different from what the world prizes. And God tells us how to do that. So yes, notice that these words were written to a pastor, telling him to stick to God's word and to preach that word. But it doesn't mean that these words aren't for you. Timothy was called to proclaim these things publicly for the church. But you and I are all directed to do the same thing. So don't let the word preach throw you. That word means to proclaim or to announce. And so again, Timothy was called to proclaim or announce these things to groups of people for the church. But you're also called to proclaim the truth of God to other people so that they can come to know Christ. Now, you likely won't share the gospel from a pulpit like this, but you don't have to do that. You know people who are living apart from God. You know people who have wrong beliefs. You know people who have things wrong, who are clueless when it comes to the Bible. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I just mean they don't know the things in the Bible, but they know you, and you know them. This seems like a perfect match, doesn't it? I'm pushing you this morning. I'm pushing you to think about those people and to say something to them. When this kind of thing is brought to our attention, you know what's common? Excuses. I don't know enough to say anything to them. I'm too embarrassed to say something. It's not the right time. I don't want to ruin my relationship with them. I don't want to push them away from God and the church. Look, the simplest way to put this is, that's our sinful nature talking. That's not faithfulness to God. That is not faithfulness to His Word. You know what you have learned and what you have continued in. You know how to share the gospel. You know right from wrong. What often makes a person popular and well-liked is avoiding subjects like this. But is that what you're living for? Is that why you have such a hard time sharing, saying something to someone? Popularity while you're in this world? Are you collecting friends as if that's some measure of success? God forgive us for this too. We act like our relationship with a person is more important than their relationship with God. And timing? We're worried about when to say something? What if the person that you don't want to say something to and who doesn't know Christ dies tomorrow? Push them away from God? Aren't they already away from God and from the church? These and other reasons are why Timothy got this direction from God. Preach the word. Be ready, whether it is convenient or not. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with all patience and teaching. See, success is found in the faithful proclaiming of God's word that's able to make people wise for salvation. And it is possible that the people you share Christ with will actually turn to God. Don't doubt it. That's literally how God does it. He works through you saying something about your Savior. It may be tempting to think that the Bible is just a book, it's just this inactive thing, or that the scripture readings in your worship folder are just toner from a copier put on paper. But it's a lot more than that. These things are the avenue through which the Holy Spirit works to give faith and to strengthen faith. This is why you continue in it, and it's also why you proclaim it. When you're faithful in sharing God's word with others, and your pastors are too, the Holy Spirit definitely works on our own hearts and works in the lives of other people who come to know their Savior. But sometimes it doesn't seem like enough for us. And Paul explains why that happens. Many people belong to the itchy ears club, They want to gather around them people who will tell them what they want to hear instead of being willing to listen to the things that God actually says. And then there are the myth followers, people who are spiritual, but they don't believe in anything that God actually says. Those who tell people what they want to hear may be able to gather around them followers and a lot of attention, and they're popular in a worldly sense, but don't confuse that with godly success. You know, pastors can stress about the size of the church and whether the church is growing or not. And we, and you might too, chase after gimmicky kinds of things or avoid some things that the Bible says so that more people will come and so that they'll stay. You might even think things like, well, if our pastors were more like this, or if they would just do that, or if our church had this program, then we would be successful too. We're tricked into thinking that numbers mean that a church is doing and saying the right things. And we lose our heads for a minute thinking that popularity must mean success in God's kingdom, when success is really being faithful to sharing God's word with other people and trusting the Spirit to do his work in his time and in his way. You know, a day like this is good for reminding us that whether the world notices you or not, you are successful if you are faithful to God and his word. And whether the world looks at our church as popular or not, we are successful if we faithfully share God's word. That's what success looks like in God's kingdom. Amen.